denomination, of course, there's a great influence by a pastor, especially a pastor of years. I get that. But just like you make up your mind, each church has the freedom to make up their mind. All right? You get to make up your mind. So how do we go about determining who we support as a missionary? Just a quick review, and I'll be very brief with this tonight. Of course, what is a missionary? A missionary is a person sent on a religious mission. That's a very shallow, really, definition of that. And from Acts chapter 13, we learn that a missionary evangelist is one who's sent out of a New Testament church. I'm not interested in supporting anyone that are went ones who are not sent ones. They need to be sent out of New Testament church. I don't care how long they've been doing what they've been doing. I don't care how good of a reputation they have. I don't care how many books they've written. I don't care how many seminars they put on each year. I don't care. If they don't have the fundamentals of the faith worked out, that they're actually authorized by a New Testament church, as far as I'm concerned, they're renegade with a cause. They're rebels working against the plan of God. That is not the pattern we see in the Word of God. If it's not in the Bible for a reason, I don't know what is. All right? So I God bless you. I love everybody. But I'm not interested at all in the slightest. And I have crossed swords in our ministry and in the past with people just like that. And it's a disgrace to me that somebody represents themselves as a leader and they can't do the elementary things of leadership right. I have no tolerance for it whatsoever. And oftentimes they say, oh, you just don't understand. You're right. I don't understand how you can disobey God and tell everybody you are. I don't buy it. So they are sent necessarily, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they are financed. And we talked about that. Sent means authorized by a church commission. And so they're called by God and commissioned by their own church. One church, we talked about that. One church. There's kind of a fad going on that sometimes it's... And it's really because his church and then the girl that he marries, you know, now they kind of want to go out of both. They don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. We, you know, somebody's got to be the head, all right? So somebody has to be the sending church. Number two, missionary evangelists are sent ones who are qualified for the task for which they are sent. They are qualified. Why would you send somebody out to drive a truck that doesn't know how to drive a truck? You need to make sure they are qualified. Letter A, qualified by their lives of service. They actually have some experience of living the life as they were ministering. Letter B, qualified by their calling. You can't be mama called and daddy sent. Acts 13, God called, church sent. The church does not send those who God has not called. And then letter C, qualified by, of course, their commission. We want to know that they have been commissioned. They have been authorized, sent out of their church. And the vast majority, by the way, those who have been trained well, almost every time you will see sent out of, 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 sent out of. My home church, my sending pastor is. And when you hear that kind of language, you know that they have had strong teaching concerning the Word of God about this issue. If they're dancing around, you should have a red flag that goes up, because that's one of the first things they should say is to let you know where their authority lies, where they come from, and where they have been commissioned. So if they never say, well, I'm out of such and such Baptist church, you know, in Kansas City or Tupelo, Mississippi, if they don't say stuff like that, you ought to have red flags already going off. And if they're ashamed of their home church, you've got other problems. If they don't mention it because they're ashamed of it. You know, some people don't want to say where they come from because they're ashamed of it. Well, I have to agree with Art Wilson, who wrote, some people are taking Baptists off their church name and others should. If you're ashamed of it, you probably ought to take it off. Okay? Now, number three, and this is where we were last week, missionary evangelists are sent ones to do a particular thing. They are commissioned to do a particular work. It's not any work. It is a certain parameter of works. In chapter 13, verse 2, we say, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. So God had something in mind, didn't he? And of course, we know exactly what that was. We already know about it from the Gospels. Acts 14, 24. After they had passed throughout Pisidia, they came to Pamphylia. And when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down and at Attalia and then sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work, not any, but the work which they fulfilled. So they were given a particular job description, if you would, perhaps not formal, but formal nonetheless. And when they had come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them in this particular work for which they had been commissioned. All particular work. And how he opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles, and there they abode long time with the disciples. Now, if a missionary is sent to do a particular spiritual mission, then that is the work that he has been commissioned to do. And I would say, you know, to a degree as well, if a single woman goes out, and we've got a single woman we support years ago, I didn't want to ever just ignore the ladies. We had another lady that helped a pastor, a missionary work in Brazil for years, and she was a great lady. She ended up marrying a national down there who was a preacher, and so she resigned as a missionary, and she was going to be a preacher's wife, and there continued to serve the Lord. But she did the right thing. We picked up Coco Chan, and Coco is a wonderful servant of the Lord. One of the most, really one of the most effective servants that I know. You know, I said, God, are you sure you didn't make a mistake? You know, she is a great lady and a good worker, got a great work ethic. And man, she is with it with those kids and networking to those churches down there in Grenada. She used to be in Trinidad, but with the visa issues and all, she ran into some problems and ended up in Grenada and working with a good missionary. A solid missionary there. But there they abode for a long time. Now, for the work which they fulfilled. For the work, particular work, which they fulfilled. So they had to go about doing the work for which they were commissioned to do and not go off on some left field, you know, off the reservation kind of thing and just call that, well, that's my liberty in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, they didn't think so. Now, who are we talking about? The Apostle Paul. So some self-proclaimed preacher, he says, well, I feel like I have the freedom. You have the freedom to do more than even the Apostle Paul did? Really? By what authority do you do this? Well, what do you mean? I said, haven't you read Acts chapter 13? Well, of course. Well, you didn't seem to get much of it. Maybe you need to go back and read it again. Now, last time we worked our way through Acts 13, 14, and ended up, we skipped over really 15. I was going to the church in circumcision in Jerusalem, the issues there. We ended up in chapter 16 in verse 5. And so were the churches established. So churches had been established, right? Churches had been established. Not water wells, churches. Churches, 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 churches. What did Christ die for? Church. Died for the church. He gave his life blood for the church. So churches were established in the what? In the faith. So then faith comes by hearing by the word of God and increased in number daily. So God was really blessing. We find number one, they preached the gospel. What do? They preached. They preached the more. When they got tired, they preached. When other people got tired of them, they preached. They preached. Two, they proclaimed. They taught the whole counsel of God. It was a teaching work. Always teaching. Always teaching. Just like the Lord. Always teaching. Did they use different methodologies in teaching? You bet they did. Parables is one of them. Stories, you know. History lessons, all included. Number three, they published the Word of God. They published the Word of God. Now, the preaching, proclamation, teaching God's Word, and the publishing of the Word of God, all of these work towards the goal of establishing a New Testament church. And then churches, and churches, and more churches. And what do you want? More churches, more churches. And here we are today. Then as they went back in the work, when they went back on the second missionary journey, they went back to see how they do, so they could provoke them unto good works. Provoke them to continue on with the church work that had been begun. So what is mission work? It's church work. It's the saving of souls, the teaching of souls, the organization of those souls in the New Testament churches, and then teaching those churches how to do the work of God themselves. Do the work of God themselves. Not that the missionary is going to do everything, but he's teaching them how to do everything so that when he leaves, they can propagate what they have been taught on around the world and around their community and around the world. That's the goal. So they're preach, proclaim, teach, publish. put churches together for the continuing work of the Lord Jesus Christ and His commission, and then provoke these existing works, encourage them to go on and on and on. Brother Ben preached yesterday up at Heartland, did a fine job. And I'm happy to tell you, his big brother Brandon was the first one to tell me about it. And I knew he was going. I didn't know exactly what day. And he said, pray for me, preacher, you know. And I knew it was getting pretty close. And it was actually Brandon who wrote me in and said, I just want to thank you for investing in my brother's life. It was something special. And I'm sure it was. And I told Brother Ben, I said, all right, brother, your big brother Brandon, he was impressed with your sermon. Send me a link to it, you know. And because he knows I can't figure out how to get it. He just send it to me where I can just make one click and I'm there. And I listened to it last night. I was working late in the shop, and it was a joy. It was a joy. And then I talked to him a little bit about it, and just encouraging. Thank you, preacher, for loving me. Thank you for taking me under your wing. Thank you, you know, all of those things. He's always been very grateful about that. We are to do this in making disciples of all nations. Isaiah 55:11, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Go over to real quick to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and I'll begin in verse 18. You catch me there. 1 Corinthians 1:18. For the preaching, what do? They preach. What do preachers do? They preach. Do we do a lot of other things? Oh yeah, a lot of things, whatever has to be done. Somebody says, well, don't you believe in deacons? Well, don't you think they didn't have deacons before they had deacons? Hello, you know. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Now, let's get on to it. Full-time mission work. You know, remember I said every church is autonomous, every church gets to decide. To me, I'm looking for full-time mission work to justify full-time support. Full-time mission work for full-time support. Now, I work full-time. Y'all work full-time. You don't work 5 hours a week. Anybody here? You work full time. I think it's righteous. I think it's fair to expect anybody who's looking to be supported full time that they're working full time. I think that's pretty rational. All right? I really do. A missionary on deputation is working full time. Now, we're going to be presenting some things to New Heights Baptist Church about language because we're trying to do better. And there it is, after the initial calls that are made to book your schedules, you know, but once you kind of get that up and going, there is quite a bit of dead time. Now, if you have small children, there's less time. If you have children you're having to educate, there's less time. But there's still time. And we want to see to use that time wisely and be better prepared for the language barriers and cultural barriers that they're going to face. Plus, we want them to be able to demonstrate they're showing a good level of sincerity of their, you know, a burden to do the work when they actually get there. Instead of, let's wait to prepare until we actually hit the foreign soil. Why do you have to wait? You ever heard of Rosetta Stone? Now, I'm not making all of this stuff up, and I don't come to these conclusions by myself. I've never been a missionary. I come to those conclusions by talking to missionaries who've been missionaries, experienced missionaries for over 30 years. So when I talk and I throw out like opinionated things like that, just don't think I've come to those conclusions just of my little old self. I have sought counsel, you know, with men who have been there, done that, and were successful in the doing of it. Now I think that's wise too. So a missionary on deputation is considered full-time, so I have no problem. One of the things some churches will say, because some get sloppy on deputation, they don't fill their calendars, which is a problem in and of itself. It is. I explained that the other day with a case in point about the fellow who's shaving himself. And they just don't fill their schedules. And you don't, that's your job, is to fill your schedule. So you fill your schedule, then there's quite a bit of dead time there. But, you know, it is to be considered full time. You should be working and preparing. You shouldn't be playing video games during the day. You ought to be studying, doing lesson preparement, studying the culture of the land you intend. You ought to be working. That should be your job. Your job should be preparing to get yonder and do that work. That should be your job. And if you're doing that righteously, you'd be working full time. But there is laziness. There's laziness. And so we have to verify. And I think it's pretty safe for us to say the type of people we deal with today, if you're looking to hire somebody on your team, the type of people you're dealing with today are not the same type of people that your grandma and granddaddy ran with. They've kind of learned the tricks how to be sneaky and lazy and not actually do the work. So a missionary on furlough is the same. He's working full time. They're doing that, and they're covering a lot of territory. Sometimes if they already have a work going on in other lands, they're still communicating with those people, especially now with technology. So you can't assume, well, they're not full-time, so they're going to stop their support or suspend. No, if they're working full-time, if they got a full-time load, that's a full-time load. A normal yearly functioning missionary, that as well is more than a full-time job, and we're looking for men to do that. While we're talking about full-time, let me say, I'm really not interested. Years ago, the terms were at least 4 to 5 years. Then they got to be 3 years with 1 year off. 1 year off, there's a reason for 1 year. There's tax issues, there are government issues. There are exemptions to federal income tax, but you can't be out. You have to be over there at least sometime during a given year. So sometimes you'll see, oh, we got to make this evangelistic quick dart over there. Well, I'm just telling you, there's reasons behind all of this stuff. And I wish I could say it's all spiritual, but it's not. Sometimes it's visa driven. And they have to that's their ticket to be in the country. So they have to take care of those kinds of things. But there's a whole lot to it. It's a whole world called missions out there. And we ought to give our hand and mind to work to figure it out. If a church takes on someone as a staff member part-time, that's an agreement that you make locally. And that's something that you can watch over locally. I had a missionary one time, went to school with him, and we asked him questions, you know, in the questionnaire, and he says, I just feel like I shouldn't answer these questions. Missionaries live in a fishbowl. And so I asked him, I want to be careful. Some of you probably may even know who I'm talking about. But I said, you live in a fishbowl. And I said, have you ever worked in a local church? I mean, you know, a church here in the States. Well, yeah, already crawfishing. It's like pregnancy. Either you are or you're not. Have you ever worked in a church? And he said, if you have to ask, no. And I said, so you don't know what it's like when you're renting a little movie or something for your kid or kids, you know, whatever, Sunday night, Saturday night, whatever, down at the grocery store. That's what we used to always do, you know. And somebody taps you on the back of the shoulder, says, so preacher, what are you looking at tonight? Now, that's a fishbowl. You're overseas, and it is true that there have been occasions that missionaries are showing other people's slides that they gathered and presenting other people's work that the whistleblower is another missionary happens to be in that congregation visiting that night. I said, you can get away with murder, and we would never know about it. And you say you live in a fishbowl? You say, do you support him? Do we support him? No. No. He's already resisting accountability. That's not a good sign. That's not a good sign. Mama, don't ask me where I was. None of your business. Well, you find you someplace else to live. All right. When it comes to mission support, we are interested in supporting those who are away from us that we cannot observe. We cannot make ongoing evaluation. Things change when you can. When you can make those types of evaluations, and we may in the future be doing more evaluation. I've sent Brother Jesus, when we look at home church planters, almost every one of these times, either I go, and more often than not, now it's we send an ambassador, we send somebody from our church to go there and check them out and see what's going on. Well, in the future, we may be doing more with that with foreign missions, because of the need to verify. I told you about the missionary, and he was surprised by the visiting missionary that was sponsoring that church, across the strait or just whatever. And he shows up over there by surprise, and they got a different denominational name for the church sign setting out front. What are you doing here? Well, they had three different denominations supporting them. Not even one was, just one was Baptist. I don't know what the others, but they were just totally different denominations. Man, there's people have learned how to play the game around the world. And you don't have to be from America or Europe to know how to do it. Some of the best cons in the whole world are from these poor countries who've learned how to con the cons. And here we Christians come along and we just believe every word. And they say, goody, 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 boy, here they come. Boy, we're going to take them for everything they're worth. Those fat cats in America, they're so stupid. That's what they say. Now, I don't want to be stupid. I don't know about you. I don't want to have written across my forehead stupid, and I don't want to be taken for as a fool. I'd rather be diligent in our work so that we can get more accomplished for the Lord. Is that fair? Okay. Now, when it comes to mission support, we are interested in supporting those away from us who are working full-time. If they're going to be away from us, we'd like to know that they are engaged full-time or perhaps part-time if they're starting a church, even here in the United States, if they're working bivocationally, that's perfectly fine. That's highly honorable, by the way. It's still honorable to work a job. There's nothing, no law against working a job. No law against it. I'll serve God, but only if I have a full-time salary. I'm not, most churches wouldn't be around if that was the sentiment years ago. Wouldn't even have a beginning, all right? So, in the States, bivocational, which is a good option, by the way. So, more on that later. In general, to answer the question, how do we go about selecting missionaries we would support? Most every adult in our church is working full-time and serving the Lord and giving so others can go in our place, in our stead, you know, or representing us at minimum, and serve the Lord in foreign lands. And probably we'd like to know if we're working full time and we're working hard for our money and we give them, they're doing the same thing. You know, they're just not working 5 hours a week, but they're working. They're putting their hand and heart to it and they're doing so full time. So if you work full time, I work full time, it seems reasonable to me to expect support to go normally to those who work full time. Full time. So when somebody says, well, yeah, I do this and... you know, well, what else do you do? Well, I have some hobbies and things that I do. And, well, okay, that's fine. I'm glad you like your hobbies. We primarily support those who are overly eager to do the work of God. And those guys normally tend to be full-time, especially if you're going to support them. They would rather be full-time than not. So somebody that's preaching out... 14 times a year is not considered full-time, okay? I'm sure they mean well. They may be the biggest blessings in all the world, but I just don't think that is deserving of full-time financial support. Prayerful support, yes, but just not a full-time salary being contributed from us. Now, the Bible does say, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn. The laborer is worthy of his reward. The laborer. Not just anybody, but the laborer is worthy of his reward. Now, we're not talking about retirement or anything like that in consideration of. That's not what this is about. I'm talking about in the main, in the working time. So first, let me talk about this. Mission work is not long-term pastoring of a church on foreign soil. Mission work is not going to a foreign country and becoming a pastor or starting a church and remaining there as the pastor of that church. You're a pastor, yes. Years ago in training, whether it would be New Tribes Missions or World Baptist Fellowship, whatever the case may be, they strongly recommended missionaries not even refer to themselves as pastors of these churches that they start. Why? Because people think of a pastor in a different way than they do a missionary. So, I mean, if you read any of those missions books, you know, years ago, almost every single one of them said, don't call yourself pastor. Don't call yourself pastor because they're going to expect you to stay there forever and be their pastor. They need to know from the very beginning. We remember talking about, if I was asking some engineers, if you're going to design and build a car, do you start from the very beginning to build a car? Yes, you start from the very beginning to build a car if you ever have it. You can't hope to get a car and design a milkshake. Okay, if you want a car, you better start from the very beginning to design a car. Okay, and that's indigenous church planting. By the way, all through the very beginning, you have to have in mind, when we started over here at Calvary Baptist Church, I wanted the people to love me. I did. But I didn't want them to become obviously overly connected with me. What I wanted them to say, you know, we love Brother Foster, but we really love our new pastor. Bingo, that's it. He must increase, I must decrease. Make sense? That's how mission work should start from the very beginning. Not 20 years in, but from the very beginning. So mission work is not long-term pastoring a church on a foreign field. Paul was not a permanent fixture in his mission works. He was there temporarily. Most pretty short. Just long enough to start, establish the work, or take care of the church in various needs. There, if you go back and you read the text in Acts chapter, I think it's into 13 or 14, it says, there they became, when they got back to Antioch, and there they abode with the disciples a long time. Well, he wasn't at the other places a long time. There he abode with the disciples a long time. Now, he did have a couple occasions in Acts 14, 26, then sailed to Antioch, whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. When they were come, or there, that's the passage in verse 28, 14. And there they abode long time with the disciples. That's where he hung his hat. Now, it seems to me, from looking at the whole of the epistles of the Apostle Paul and the book of Acts, it seems like when he was in Acts, he was tent making. It doesn't seem to me, from all the scripture, that he's receiving support for missions when he was at the church at Antioch. But while he was out doing the work, and maybe he had a shop there at Antioch, wouldn't be surprised, or on the backside of the place, his house, you know, where he stayed, you know, that he would have supplies to build it. Who knows? But it doesn't seem to be while he was there. Not at all. So it's when he's out and away, see, away from base, home, that's when he received the support. That's when he had a greater need. Now, you also see that those working full-time in mission work are deserving full-time support as the Lord provides and as the Lord leads. Paul was worthy of support. He talked about that. Matter of fact, you take your Bible and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I'll begin in verse 1. But support and issues like that have to be worked out by each individual church and pastors with the churches with their people. And he says, am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? In other words, I'm a bona fide apostle. Are not ye my work in the Lord? You are my fruit. If I be not an apostle unto others, yet doubtless I am to you. For the seal of mine apostleship are ye and the Lord. You're the proof of my pudding. Mine answer to them that do examine me is this. Wait a minute. You mean people were actually looking into the life and claims of the Apostle Paul? Yeah, and I don't think that's a bad deal. Now, it's a deal if it's not a faith and they're trying to just get something on him to throw him under the bus. That's a completely different thing. But I think it's a good thing to have some due diligence about those you're going to get involved in. The Bible teaches you all kinds of things of how to practice wisdom about those you're going to get in business with and, ministry, lay not hands suddenly on any man, to be careful about such things. Have we not power to eat and to drink? Are we not deserving of those things too? Have we not power to lead about a sister or a wife as well as other apostles as the brethren of the Lord and Cephas, Peter? Or I only and Barnabas, have not we power to forbear working? So by the way, Paul was not the only one that did not primarily go about mission work by personal support. Barnabas was right in there with him. So it's not, somebody said, well, it's only because of Paul's persecution of the churches. Well, Barnabas didn't do that. That wasn't Barney. That was Paul. Oh, better kind of get back to the book and read it a little bit more. All right. Who goeth a warfare anytime at his own charges? Who planteth a vineyard, verse 7, and eateth not the fruit thereof? Or who feedeth the flock and eateth not of the milk of the flock? Now, that's all those you minister to bless you, all right? That's not those apart from those you minister to bless you. The ones giving are people who have been blessed by that servant. And that's what he's talking about here. Say I these things as a man, or saith not the law of the same also? For it is written in the law of Moses. So he verifies these things have great credibility and great grounding in the Word of God. You jump down to verse 15, he says, but I have used none of these things, Neither have I written these things that it should be so done unto me, for it were better for me to die than any man should make my glory void. In other words, he was boasting in the fact how God could care for him and take care of his needs, so he did not have to go about in all of this business. And he said, you're not going to take that away from me. Boy, that's quite a different testimony to get up in church services or a fellowship meeting today and say, I don't want your support. When I went to Arkansas, Brian Arkansas, what's the man I talked to you not long ago? Joe Prickett. I went to Joe Prickett's church to preach at Arkansas State Fellowship meeting. Now you think Texans are proud, you ought to meet a bunch of Arkansas people, you know. I got there, and most of those Arkansas preachers, they don't want to see anybody coming from another state with their hand out. Oh, no. They want to support church planting, but only in Arkansas. You know? So I knew this going in. Now they're trying to build a movement there, and God bless them for it. I'm picking on them. But I told her, I got up and said, I came, but I'm not expecting a love offering. Matter of fact, I brought one. They said, amen, amen, amen. They're excited about that. Everybody likes love offerings from Texas. I'm telling you the truth. They all want to break into Texas. They all do. Paul Chappell, here comes Paul Chappell. He's coming to Texas, breaking into Texas. Why is he breaking into Texas? He wants Texas money. And he wants Texas students. I know exactly what he's doing. Well, that's all right, you know. Missionaries, go to Texas. Go to Texas. You go to Texas. You get good love offerings in Texas. You get good support in Texas. Hey, I'm all for that. What a good reputation for Texas. I think that's great. Now, it seems from the Holy Text that while Paul was traveling for mission ministry, that is when others sent gifts to him from time to time to help care for his needs, his necessities, not the projects he was working on, not land somebody else decided they want to buy and they want somebody else to pay for, not building somebody else wants to rent and they want somebody else to pay for. No, that's not what happened. But his necessities. Take care of the preacher. Now people are more excited about taking care and giving money to projects than they are preachers. And some of these guys, church planters and missionaries, will go to these meetings and they'll raise $25,000 for a project and $300 for the preacher. Well, you'll burn through that $25,000 just like that. And then who's going to continue the work of God? What about beans and blanket for the preacher? You do nothing without the preacher. You have to support them. And that's exactly what we find happening in the Scripture. Preachers, 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 preachers. You support the preacher. He gets a Bible under his arm, maybe a wife on another arm, but she don't weigh too much. And off he goes, man, and he does the work of God. He's excited about it. He's going out there by faith to do the work of God. I'm sorry about that kind of weight thing, you know. Now, look at Acts chapter 20, verse 33. Paul said, I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. I was talking to Brother Bork, and he kind of pulled some things out of me. I hope I didn't talk too much, you know. And I was up there, Brother Jim Sanders, years ago at a meeting, and somebody had presented, they said, we need three suits. I need three suits to do the work of God. I need three suits. And I leaned over him. Our rumps were sore anyway. We had about any excuse we could to move our rumps on that hard seat. You know, I said, you want me to fill out a paper card for you and turn it in? A need for you? And I'm proud to tell you, you know what he told me? Please don't. Please, Pastor, please don't. No, that's Jim Sanders. That's a working man, not afraid to work. You follow me? No, this is us. This is our church, and I'm preaching to you. He said, please don't. He said, this is disgraceful. He said, I can work. My back's not broke. I don't need anybody to buy me clothes. You want to know why we go the extra mile for Brother Jim Sanders? You just heard it. That kind of man. Not afraid to work. He's still bivocational, by the way. Not afraid to work. What are you, these guys, their backs are broke or something? You know, what's the matter with these guys? They just will not work. Well, I'll preach, but only if somebody gives me a full-time salary, and as soon as they lose that, God's moved me. God's done here. Well, maybe you're just lazy and you're done here. It's a different mentality, all right, sometimes even generationally. All right, these hands have ministered, he says, let's see. Ye yourselves know. So they were aware even. Somebody say, well, you don't know that. Oh, I know that, but the people he was ministering to in all these different towns, they even knew it. Haven't you read the whole of book of Acts? And to kind of provoke them, you know, because they don't like it. Have you read? And then you show them. Look at this. Yea, ye yourselves know. So not only I know I do this, but you also know this. That these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. You know what I do with my hands. I work. And I'm not ashamed to work. And I provide not only for me, but also what became Paul and company, their needs. You know, you feed one mouth, you might as well feed two, right? What's another mouth? That's what we say all the time with mission meals. What's another mouth? Join in, you know. All right, and to them that were with me. And I showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. Go over to Philippians chapter 4, 15. Let me show you something over there. So the church at Philippi also knew this because he alludes to it here. It says, now ye Philippians know also. So it's widely known. Ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia call, now out into Europe, no church communicated with me, supported with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. No, it's not all the churches that even he started. Now, should they? Yeah. Could they? We don't know. But some did. But it wasn't even all the time. All right? You go on, verse 16, for even in Thessalonica, so when he was down lower, so Philippi's over here, Thessalonica's down here on the coast. I've showed you those slides and all before. Ye sent once and again unto, what does it say? My necessity. My necessity. So, we're not near so interested in a missionary's projects as we are the missionary themselves. As a matter of fact, if they start going crazy on the projects, they come under view and question of whether or not they're practicing indigenous church planting. One said recently, well, you know, I still consider myself to be an indigenous church planter, but just this one time, I want everybody else to provide the land and the building for us. It happened to be the first time. What do you think if you're raising a bunch of kids and you get somebody else to pay for everything, what's the chance you're going to be able to get them to pay for it next time? It's going to get harder and harder every time, right? So if you intend to be indigenous church planter, but you're going to do it on the fourth and fifth time out, you're probably never going to see the light of day. That's never going to happen. You're never going to get there. You're just never going to get there. So what do? Well, we send them some reading material, which we did. Sending reading material. Maybe you didn't understand when we wrote you and we asked you, are you an indigenous church planter? Will you solicit funds from New Heights Baptist Church to buy your lands and build your buildings on foreign soil? No, sir. Do you understand what indigenous church planting it is? Yes, 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 yes. And then a few years pass, and we're looking for churches to give thousands of dollars to buy lands and build a building down here for us. Why do you need us? One missionary said, we're blowing the doors out. This is in Europe, not even a poor country. Blowing the doors out. By the way, it's no excuse even a poor country. Somebody, you don't understand. We're so poor. Have you ever heard of Macedonia? It's no excuse. Bible missions works anywhere under any economic circumstances. It's just not relevant, period. It's just not relevant. Now, if you want to have a modern building like this, in the jungles of Africa, it's never going to work. Okay. I got to hurry along. For even at Thessalonica, you say it once again unto my necessity. So we support preachers. Now, Father, forgive them, they know not what to do. Some get involved in dabbling here and there. We can overlook some things, but when it gets gross, you're paying salaries, you're paying servants, you're buying lands and building buildings, you have no intention of starting another church, you just can't intend to camp out right there for the rest of your life. It says, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Ongoing fruit. But I have all and abound, I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing unto God. So the church at Thessalonica, who were poorer than Job's turkey, sent once and again to Paul's necessity. They weren't takers of the Scripture. They were givers in the Scripture. And they were the poorest of the poor of the lot. So don't tell me, well, you don't understand they're poor. Another one said, well, you don't understand expensive it is to live here. We happen to be at the Western Wall area, the Wailing Wall it's called. And I said, well, where do all these Jews live? And well, they live in flats in what we call apartments or homes. And I said, well, I don't see them living out on the streets. And I said, are those apartments pretty costly? He said, oh, yeah, oh, yeah. And I said, 10 of those individuals, 10 of those families supporting one of their nationals could have a New Testament church right here. If 10 individuals are tithing, they can support that preacher with each of their 10th. It's simple math. You follow me? It's simple math. It works anywhere. It doesn't matter. The number is not relevant. It's just not relevant. And he said, well, you don't. So a lot of people say, well, you don't understand they're poor. Like Macedonia? Well, you don't understand they're rich. And it's just excuse after excuse after excuse of why you can't follow this book. Well, why did God give us instruction how to do it if he didn't intend for us to follow the book? My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory. Now, other than Paul's imprisonments, he was in his mission works there not long at all. In his mission works, his longer stays were that in Corinth and Ephesus. In Corinth, some debate, but around a year and a half. Year and a half at Corinth. Now you say, a year and a half, boy, that just, listen. But Paul, birthing a church is not the same thing as building a church. Birthing a church is having a baby. Now, you don't throw the baby out on sidewalks and you have the baby, I get it. But that's not the same as growing a church. Brother Wendell Hires has told me before, we missionaries stay way too long thinking they can't go, they can't survive without us. And when we actually leave, they do better with us gone than they did when we were there. Why? Because they picked up the baton and they ran with it. And it became more organic and of faith and of them, and they did a better job than you could do. You're a foreigner after all. You don't know the customs and the language near as well as they do. At Ephesus, he was there right over 3 years. That's the longest time he was at any church in the mission work that he did. So Paul saw to the ordaining of pastors, bishops, used interchangeably in every church, that he was not their pastor. He was the missionary evangelist. He's the missionary evangelist. A pastor is more of a long-term servant watching over a particular flock of God. That's a different creature entirely. Different creature. I am a pastor. I'm not a missionary in that sense. There's a big difference between a full-time pastor and a full-time missionary. A missionary should not seek to be a permanent fixture in one church unless, you could say, in that church he's seeking to be a catalyst from that church into others and he continues to work, but he cannot be the pastor of that first church because how's he going to network and help start other churches if he's tied down there? So that doesn't work. You're still just a pastor trying to encourage others. That's not a missionary's work. All right, so such he cannot be a long-term pastor of that church and a missionary starting another church at the same time. Now, we are not in the business of supporting missionaries who call themselves missionaries, but who are rather pastoring a church on foreign soil, calling themselves missionaries, and soliciting support to be a missionary. Okay, that would be a church planter who intends to remain as their pastor here in the United States. We support them. There's nothing wrong with that. We support them. We've got a missionary in North Carolina, a missionary church planter. We call him a home church planter. But he's starting a church, and he intends to leave that church and start another church. That would be the same thing as a missionary on a foreign field. We support others. Brother Bork's one of them. He's going to be the long-term pastor of that church. But we don't support him for the rest of his life. Short term. It used to be 1 year. Now, that was back during the heyday, and you could do a lot, you know, in a year back then. Now, the average is about 3 years, 2 to 3 years. Not 7, not 10, not 14. When I had a bunch of guys, and they're trying to get me to go south, and big teardrop meetings all through South America. It was about money. And a lot of those guys had been on mission support, pastoring churches for 14 to 17 years. Never weaned. Well, they don't want to be weaned. Never want to be weaned. What? Because you're going to have to take care of your own business. Feed yourself. Now, I guess I'll tell you a couple of stories. We had a missionary in Brazil years ago. And he came, and the matter of fact, that was the same church I told you. Three different missionaries were all claiming the same church. Okay, it was that church. That church was around, it's either around 125 or 150. That's what they were running. And they came up early on. I think Brother Mark Deere was on the mission committee at the time, probably Bill Landrum. It was early on in our process and deliberation, working through all of these things. And he came, and he told us about the work, and he loved to scuba dive. He loved to scuba dive so much he could not get life insurance. We had some other preachers who lost, that died, and left their wives in dire straits because they didn't have life insurance. So we started asking, do you have life insurance? Well, he couldn't have life insurance because he liked to scuba dive too much, and he wouldn't give up scuba diving to protect his wife. Well, that's already a strike. All right. So come to find out, okay, are you planning on, now we're sitting with the mission committee, we're sitting around, and I said, do you intend to go back, and do you have somebody you're training? Well, no. Well, but I've told our people, when I come back, I'm not going to be their pastor anymore. See, they're not going to be their pastor anymore, which he was taught by the earlier school, same people that taught me, so I know what he was taught. And he said, well, I'm not going to be their pastor, so I'm going to let them know that I'm going to be leaving. Now, this is with the mission committee, so if, as God is my witness, I wanted to call him a liar to his face right there in front of the mission committee. Because no preacher is going to leave his church that he's been pastoring for years and years and walk off and abandon it. You don't have anybody you're training to take over, and you want us to believe this garbage you're throwing out? I was hot. It's wrong. It's unjust. This is the type of stuff we shouldn't tolerate. So what'd you do? Well, I bit my tongue and I went through the whole service and I amen and smiled real good, put on my poker face, you know, and okay, good. But I followed him out in the parking lot after church and I said, well, I got something I need to talk to you about. And I said, it's going to be kind of strong. Are we okay? And he said, yeah, sure, fine. I said, okay. He said, what's on your mind? I said, I think you need to resign your citizenship of the United States as a citizen of the United States. And I think you need to apply for citizenship in the country of Brazil. And I think you need to continue to be the pastor of that church because that's what you are. But one thing you are not is you are not a missionary. Well, that's your opinion. I said, no, that's the Bible's opinion. 25 years you've been pastoring that church down there, running 125, 150, scuba diving. 3 servants in the house, I think it is, at least 2. Well, we're helping them. It just cost a little bit. But what are y'all doing? You're having a great time on, well, you know. But you want somebody else to pay the bills for you. You don't want them to have to. Now, nothing wrong with what you're doing. You go scuba diving all you want. But let those people down there who you're ministering to, let them pay your salary. So you need to resign your citizenship as a United States citizen. No problem there, fine. I mean, we're citizens in other places anyway. You go down to Brazil and you apply down there for citizenship, and I'm sure they'll give it to you. And you become their pastor because that's what you are. But you're not a missionary. He says, well, we're going to have to agree to disagree. And I said, that's fine. You got 3 months and you're cut off. You say, well, that's hard. It's business. I represent you and I represent the Lord. How do you want me just to waste your money? We're charged by God, commissioned by God to do the work of God, and that's a particular work. And if we're not going to do it, that falls on me, and I'm going to have to give an account to God. And frankly, if you found out about it, I should have to give an account to you. Why are you not managing these things better? I work full time. Why are we supporting a man to be on foreign soil for 25 years pastoring the same church? He's supposed to be a missionary. I mean, you work hard for your money, didn't you? Are you not now? It's only righteous that we oversee this and make sure that it's right. Now the missionary is going to Canada. You learn a lot by stories. And he said, I want to go to Canada and I want to talk to you about it. And I said, that's great. He said, in Canada, they won't allow you to work a job there. So you know, you can't work a job there for 7 years. But I intend to go to Canada and start a church. But I intend to stay at that church. I said, okay, tell me more. I intend to stay at that church. Yes, sir, I intend to be a missionary. You intend to be a missionary, but you're going to stay at the church. Okay, 7 years, you can't work. But you are going out and going to be a missionary, and you're going to represent yourself that you're going to be a missionary to all these churches, including ours. You're going to go out and you're going to solicit funds that you're going to indefinitely be a missionary. But after 7 years, you could work a job. Or you could receive a salary from the people that you started that work after 7 years. I said, why don't you instead go and ask churches like ours to be gracious and extend that 3-year period that we normally would support a home church planter, because the government, it's not his fault about the government. It's not, right? It's not his fault. Why don't you just be honest with the pastors, and they would be so refreshed by the truth for a change, and just say, I'm looking for support for 7 years, because after 7 years, I'll be able to receive a salary from that church in Canada. Well, why would I do that? What do you mean, why would you do that? Honesty, for one. Honesty. Being truthful to people. Not taking advantage of people. Where do we start? Where's your mama? I want to slap her, you know. She didn't teach you some things. These are ridiculous stuff. You know, and I'm really thankful in a sense he never made it. He's pastoring a church, probably teaching somebody else to go do that. A lot of the guys that fail then turn around and say, I know what they all need to do, and they become teachers of all these others. Well, if you're going to learn how to play golf, man, find somebody that can play a decent game of golf. I mean, you know, come on. All right. Evangelists, by the way, who work part-time, going from church to church, or work full-time to... A lot of evangelists don't work full-time. But there are some that do. All right, there's some that do. And years ago, as far as I know, they all did. If they went to a church, they were out with the preacher all day. I mean, it was, they came. If you were building on, had a project going on, they were there early in the morning to help you, because they're preaching the same sermon they just preached at the last church. All right, don't let them kid you that they're not. And I don't blame them. You get so good, you walk around on the pews, you have the whole thing memorized, and everybody said, man, would you sign my Bible? Well, if I got to preach the same thing 100 times in a row, I'd probably be able to memorize it too, even as lousy as I am on memorization. But they did years ago. It was just different. They didn't go in Sunday through Wednesday and go out for a couple of golf games. And, you know, one came in and says, well, how many times are we going to play golf this week? And I said, well, I might be able to get you in one game, but I don't plan on doing it any more than that. And how about just 9 holes instead of 18? You know, I'm not opposed. I'm not opposed to a little time off and, you know, shooting our mouth off to one another. And I'm okay with that. You know, we all need to let down our hair a little bit. But man alive. You with me? All right. So evangelists work part-time, going from church to church, but they don't have a full-time load. I think they ought to live off their love offerings. I do. If that's your gig, that's what you want to do, then those churches that have you in, they ought to take care of you. And by the way, Every time we have an evangelist in, you don't see me picking them up in monthly support. You ever heard me do that? There's a reason for that. The vast majority, they're not working full time. Or some that were, they have, or usually a pastor, he already has a full-time salary. And they have the insight of a pastor to help be a blessing to your church as well. But I think they ought to live by the love offerings. And when we have evangelists come in here, we take very good care of them financially, or I don't have them. We're paying them more than they're worth. Okay? More than I make. More than probably you make. And they have some additional expenses, and that should be considered to take care of that. But when you have somebody says, okay, you're going to have to give me a check to do this and this and this and this, and that's going to all come to about $3,500 then for the week, and that's just four-day week. $3,500 to do that. And then I need to sell some things at your church. Is that okay if I sell some things? But yeah, we use this to help us do this and that and the other, or take vacations, go to Disney World, and so forth and so on. And by the way, during the daytime, I'm busy, you know, working and preparing sermons and all this stuff. And my wife is too. So unless there's something urgent you need us for, we'll see you at service. Now let me tell you, that's a sweet gig. That, as an experienced preacher, that would be a sweet gig. All I got to do is show up Sunday, preach the services. Now, that's a long day. Okay, you pour your heart out. Okay. Monday night, see you at service. Come get me for supper. Maybe come get me for lunch. I'll see you at service. We're all promoted. I'm promoted. I get to sign everybody's Bibles because I preached that sermon 100 times. You are impressed. Y'all don't ever ask me to sign your Bibles when I go to other churches and preach a sermon that I've preached two or three times here without you knowing, maybe. Just two or three times. Would you sign my Bible? Nobody ever asked me around here, would you sign my Bible? See, I'm still upset about it. It's just different. Don't bother me. Well, you coming by for breakfast in the morning? Where are we going for breakfast? I mean, where are we going for breakfast? You're at a hotel. They got complimentary breakfast right here at the hotel. Where are we going for breakfast? I got work to do. I didn't bring you here to babysit you. Why don't you come on down to the church? We're working back there to build an apartment. Why don't you come back there and help us build the apartment? Oh, I got sermon material to do. And you go on there online. These days you go online. You go online and you go see the last five churches and they preach the same sermons they preach in your church. Now, I'm not opposed to that. I'm for that. But don't pretend to me that you're so busy that you don't have time to come down to the church and help us out, or the way evangelists used to do, or go soul winning with you, knock doors, go make some hospital calls. That's what they used to do, but they've learned. Well, I can just see you at service. I'm busy, you know. I'll tell you, it gets under my saddle a little bit, you know. I came from working people. I came from working people. And I think people who are being supported ought to work. I just do. They ought to work, and they ought to work ever as hard as a postal worker, right, brother? You know? I mean, a government worker, they ought to at least be doing a government job, leaning on a shovel half the day. Okay, fine. But find a shovel, man. You know, get that donut out of your hand every once in a while. All right, I'm out of time. Let's stop right there, and I'll pick up there next time.